So, when a new player gets recruited, how will that normally have come about?
So we'll have, so we've got now, we've got spreadsheets, which tell us everything from salary cap and who gets paid what, and making sure we've got the right homegrown credits and players and succession planning of by position. You know, how many looseheads have we got coming in the next few years? What's it looking like in, where have we got to go early for a, so for example, at the minute, if you've got Ruairi Dreja, Fraser Balmain, Kieran Knight, as three of your tight head props, Josh Honnett can play across at tight head as well. Alex Saville can play over at tight head as well. So you we've got, I can tell you now, to every single position, where we need to recruit, where we don't need to recruit in years one, two, three, four, et cetera, et cetera. So we know, we've got a plan. So early doors, we'll say, let's, for argument's sake, that we decide I'll pick a player, I don't know, inside centre. So we say, okay, next year we need to go on an inside centre because our inside centre's leaving or is retiring or whatever, or we don't fancy him anymore for whatever reason, we think we can do better or whatever it might be. So we obviously speak to agents out there early doors. We're very well connected, obviously, around the world anyway, with other clubs, etc. So we know early doors who's available, and we engage them when we're allowed to. And then once that's done, David will, invariably David will have the conversations with them. Why wouldn't he? As director of rugby. There's the odd occasion where I might have done the deal directly with someone like James Hook, for example, or Richard Hibbard and people like that. But invariably, I might have a better relationship with a particular agent, so I might speak to them. But invariably, David, that's David's role, backed up by Alex Brown as well, who's doing all the digging, the analysis. So if there's a hooker coming in, his agent's going to tell us he's brilliant. We want to see tapes. Can he throw? How does he scrummage? Then we want people he's played with. So, make a place for the Lions. Right, Jaco, Franco, what's he like around the changing room? Is he a good guy? Is he an idiot? So we do all of that due diligence early doors. And then we meet the player and we make them offer. And we think we've got a very compelling offer, ignoring money for a moment. Gloucester's a wonderful club. Hasn't got enough silverware versus the size of the club that it is, which hopefully we're going to start sorting that out. But it's a wonderful part of the world to live in. Gloucestershire, and I can say that from coming outside, people are so self-deprecating in this area, worse than Brummies, and I can, we're bad. But it's a wonderful place. You've got a lovely cathedral, the river running through it, the food and drink around here is amazing. For people who want that kind of Cheltenham lifestyle, there's Cheltenham, you've got the beautiful Forest of Dean, you've got equidistant to Birmingham, Bristol airports, the schools are wonderful, it's great for the wives and the kids. So we put together a very compelling package as to why actually you might be from Auckland or you might be from Johannesburg, but you haven't got to go to London. Come to Gloucester. And I can count on one hand in 7 years how many players haven't come once we've engaged them. Probably on two fingers, actually, to be quite frank.
Do they normally come and have a look at Gloucester before they make a decision?
It depends. It depends. Ordinarily, if they're plying their trade in New Zealand, then no. No, they don't. But it's such a, for example, when we signed John Afoa, I remember going out for a drink with Jimmy Cowan. So Jimmy was telling us all about John. He knows him very well and all that type of stuff. So it's a small network. You can always find a player or a coach who's more than willing to give you an idea. And they'll do the same, by the way. If we're pulling in a player from New Zealand, they'll phone Willie Hines, they'll phone Tom Marshall, they'll phone Josh Honeck. What's Gloucester really like? You can't hide from it. We know the clubs that, we have a no, what we call a no-excuse culture within the playing department. We give the guys everything that they possibly could need to be happy in their workplace. And hopefully they translate that to people, because we certainly never have any issues. And if anything, we have our own players coming to us saying, we believe X, Y, and Z is going to be on the market next year. Try and get them into Gloucester. So, yeah.
One of the things I would say, as a Gloucester fan, is I'm quite regularly disappointed by seeing players, who are in the academy, who look very promising, going elsewhere. Is that a measure of how successful the academy is, that we're actually producing more good players through the academy than we can actually accommodate in Gloucester?
To a point. I mean, we're one of the what they call the gold standard academies, which is symptomatic of how well it's run. We've just got a new guy called Peter Walton coming in, actually, now looking at, he's going to be looking at academies, ex-RFU, which is only going to take it to an even better place. What goes on with the academies is a lot more than what people see, the educational side of it, dealing with parents, etc., etc. But if you take now, for example, we've got the likes, good young lads coming through, people like Aaron Hinckley, for example, you know, you've got Kieran Knight, you've got Alex Seville, and all these guys. How a squad's generally made up is you've got your very expensive marquee type international players, you've got your middle paid players, and then you, the salary cap isn't big enough to just have that. You've got to have a breeding ground of more young English academy players coming through. There will be occasions where we just don't have room in a salary cap, you know, and that's just not academy players. So players that we've lost from this club where I've genuinely been gutted, there haven't been many, but people like Dan Robson, I was gutted about because I think he's absolute world class. He's international class without a shadow of a doubt. Dan went for absolutely the right reasons. At the time, we had a head coach who would never pick him over Greg Laidlaw. That, rightly or wrongly, Dan said, I want more first team action. And let's be honest, he's been around the England squad recently and all the rest. So, a lovely guy, wonderful player, gutted to see him go, type of thing. So, it's not just about the academy, but similarly with the academy, there's a decision made where, you know, firstly, we can't take everybody on because we can't afford to take everybody on. Secondly, if we've got an absolute depth chart in a certain position, that might be quite unfortunate for that particular player at that time, and then end up going and applying their trade somewhere else. It happens the other way around. We get those types of players as well. Look at Jake Pelledri. You know, Bristol didn't fancy him. He ends up working at Subway, playing for Hartbury, and then we noticed him. It can happen, you know, and Jake's a wonderful player. So, yeah, there is an element of just not enough. There isn't a talented young English player that we'd actually say we can't make room for them, even if we had to put them out on loan. Sometimes if they're... Someone like Dan Thomas, for example, is doing well at Bristol. Again, a really wonderful player, I think. And I think he'll do well in the Premiership. But we had a real issue around him being Welsh versus our EQP status and making sure that we hit our EQP numbers. So there's always a number of things that can go on around it. But I can guarantee you it is for financial reasons, for cultural reasons and performance reasons. If we could have a squad entirely made up of young English players from the Gloucester area, we would. So it is our absolute aim to have as many young homegrown players as physically possible. However, A, we can't always fit them in from a cost perspective, and B, it's highly unlikely that you're going to win anything when you've got just that makeup. You need a Franco Mostert, an Ed Slater, a Danny Cipriani. We just know that, and it's been proven. So you've got to get that balance right. But yeah, I think we are a slight victim of our own success. But you look at who's coming through at the moment, you know, people like Lloyd Evans and Tom Seabrook and those guys as well. And the good thing about Yaron is he'll blood them, he'll play them. You know, someone like Charlie Chapman coming through at 9. There's a lot of these guys coming through now, I think, have got really, really big futures. Really big futures.
Can you talk a bit about the sort of relationship with Hartbury College and yeah. the academy, and indeed the Gloucester Hartbury ladies team?
Yes, yeah.
How do you see all that fitting together?
Yeah, well, I don't know if you know, recently we're, you know, obviously we've got the women's team that's doing really well. That was a kind of brainchild of ourselves and theirselves, saying, look, you know, we'd like to do it, but Gloucester gives it the gravitas, but Hartbury gives it the base, type of thing. I mean, the relationship's been a very good one. It obviously works. We've got a wonderful training base up there. Now they're a Championship club. It's great for us to obviously loan players to Gloucester, to Hartbury, sorry. For them, it's good because it's a great recruitment drive for them. So Hartbury will often harp on about, you know, the likes of whoever, Tom Savage, Elliot Stook, Johnny May, whoever it might be, who've come through there, either play for their country or play professional rugby, and that's wonderful for them as a sporting institute to hang on to the back of that. We'd love them to remain a Championship club, but equally they're their own institution, so they don't want to be seen as this club that's just taking Gloucester players all the time, and they're not, to be fair to them. They have as many Bristol and Worcester players as they have Gloucester players playing for them as well. So it's a good relationship. We do a lot of academic things with them as well, which people don't see, so I'll do talks for various groups up there, as will James Hudson around the nutrition. Our finance director will do things up there as well. So it's a much bigger, and some of our players were going to help coach their women's team and all the rest of it. And there's a lot of people in there now are ex-Gloucester. So, you know, I've just come out of a meeting with James Forrester. James is working up there at the minute. You've got the likes of, obviously, Pasty up there, and you know, people like Rupert Harden and Dan Murphy. So there's a big Gloucester connection there anyway. And it works well. We've got a good relationship with them. Yeah, and so the facilities are excellent.